Good evening, and welcome to our Sunday evening assembly of the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee, if you're viewing online. And if you're here, you know where you are. So first thing we're going to do is we'll sing a song about God and how great he is.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am lost among the world, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I wonder how the universe is great. Then sings my soul.
I will be reading Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he has commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father, we praise you for all that you are, and we're not capable of realizing all that you are. But Father, as we read this beautiful image of the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and all the beasts of the earth and the creeping things and all those who inhabit the sea praising you, Father, we're just filled in awe of who you are, and this entire creation is your creation, created out of your heart to share with us. And so, Father, help us to cultivate an ongoing spirit of praise, that our lives are a never-ending praise of you, and that others around us may see it. And Father, as we praise you, we continue to be aware of those who are hurting. And right now our hearts are continually concerned for the Hamilton family and their time of grief must be so profound, and it's going to continue for a while. And Father, we ask you to be with them and to care for them. Wrap your arms around them. Let them know your peace and your powerful love for them. And Father, be with us all. Help us to not become too discouraged when the trials of life come in. Help us to hang in there and find ways to praise you even when it's hard, so we can be an encouragement for others. And Father, when we have brothers and sisters who are finding it challenging to bear with life's burdens, lead us to be there so that we can be a source of encouragement. Father, we ask you to be with us through all of this service. It is dedicated to you, as all of our services are. And help us to examine our hearts and to make sure that nothing is interfering with our relationship with you. Please continue to forgive us and grow us in your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I would like for us to look now at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's again go to God in prayer. Our loving, merciful Heavenly Father, we again come before you, thanking you for your gifts to us, for your grace towards us each day of our lives, knowing that regardless of what is happening, whether it be good or evil, whether it brings joy or stress and trying upon us, that you are there. You are that fortress. You are what we can trust in and day out for all eternity. Help us not to be wrapped up in this world that is temporary, and our time here is so very temporary. Let us look to the future. Let us look to you. Let us realize that at some point in time, all your enemies will be subdued, and you will take us home to be with you forever. Help us to keep our trust strong in you, to encourage others to trust in you rather than themselves and the things of this world, so that we might, with your grace and Christ's blood, stand justified before you. These and all things we ask through your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
I selected two items that kind of caused our minds to reflect on what we might be worth. This is not from a prideful perspective, but this is from a scriptural and a godly perspective, considering the fact that we were made in the image of God, and the blood of the only one that was chosen was shed for every one of us. So trying to figure out or keep in mind our value can be an interesting thing to try to accomplish, and I thought Luke may be able to help us with that. So I chose Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I'm sure several of you are very familiar with the song that this scripture apparently inspired. And that, based on what little research I did, was written in 1905. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender word I hear. And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we're thankful and reminded dear God, of the blessings you've given us of our worth, that somehow through your miraculous grace, through your Son's cross, that we have value. We have value to our families. We have values to our kingdom, to your church, dear God. And help us, dear God, to remember our value and what's been done on our behalf, and allow that to make decisions that not only help us, but preserve ourselves in our faith, but also our fellow man and our fellow church member. We know, dear God, that there are those that are grieving within the reach of our voice right now. We know they're struggling and they are pain-stricken with the loss of loved ones. Dear God, we lift them up. We know there are those that are facing medical challenges, and that those medical challenges that they're facing, dear God, could be very dire. We lift them up just now and pray to you, asking for healing, asking, dear God, that those in the medical community would be able to develop effective plans that would bring about healing and would return these to their walk of life, dear God, and return to your place of worship as time permits. We're reminded, dear God, as we move forward, that we have seen progress with this virus. We've seen examples, dear God, of those that have been healed of ailments, that are able to start making return back to the assembly, that are returned back to their homes to recover. We wouldn't want to be neglectful and not be thankful for the many things that have been done on our behalf and on behalf of our fellow man and our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are thankful, dear God, for your blessings on the work here. We know, dear God, that we must continue to invest, not only financially, but we must continue to invest prayerfully in our skills and our talents for your work to be accomplished in this place in a manner that is acceptable to you. With that in mind, dear God, we lift up our missionaries, those who are serving, dear God, in faraway places, who may be facing challenges foreign to us, who may be threatened, who may be in an environment where the physical needs of life are a particular struggle. We lift these up, particularly Malawi, the work that's being done in Russia, around the world, around the globe, Haiti, dear God, and other places. We lift this work up to you, your workers that are there. I pray that you would keep them safe. We pray that you would make them productive. We pray, dear God, for a place with you in the after while. And we pray, dear God, that through your Son Christ, we may be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.
There was a black man in the hospital dying, and he had with him his well-worn Bible. A nurse came in to visit him. He asked the nurse if she would read him a psalm. She picked up his Bible, and he said 103. He wanted her to read 103 to him. So she picked it up and started reading. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Psalms 103. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us all of our iniquities, who heals us of all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who creates you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, and slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, and we thank you so much for loving us and for all the benefits that we receive from having our life given to you. Father, we pray for those who are having health problems. There are many of our members and many of our loved ones are having health problems, and we pray that you would be with them, that you would help them, that you would sustain them through this. And Father, we pray that this virus might soon be under control, brought under control, and that we might have a full assembly in our church again. Father, we look forward to the time that we can be with all of our loved ones and our good friends and have our association together. Father, we thank you so much for so many blessings. As the psalm says, you are very merciful and graceful to all of us. Father, we pray for this congregation. We pray for all the people that are associated with this congregation. We ask you to bless each one, help each one. And Father, we pray especially for the elderly, the older people. Age has its own problems, and we need always to pray that you bless each one that's having a problem due to older age. And we pray, Father, for our young people. Pray that we might be examples and teachers to them, that they might be raised in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord. Father, we pray that you bless all of us as we strive from day to day to live the Christian life. Bless us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 67. A psalm of gratitude and thanksgiving for God's continued blessings. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known on the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou wilt judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Let's join in prayer. Father, we come on behalf of many who are suffering now and pray your comfort and peace be with them and your healing hand be upon them. We pray for those families and friends who have recently lost loved ones, and particularly the families of James and Lana. Be with them, Lord, and give them comfort and peace. Be with them as they go through this period of bereavement, and be with them every step through this difficult time. We ask that you be with the family of Lonnie Grady, who's recently passed away. We're thankful for him and all the good that he did during his life and all the lives that he touched. And we pray that you'll be with every family member and comfort them. And for the family of Ray Frissell, a preacher of the gospel, we ask that you be with them and comfort them, Father, and help them during this period of their loss. And we pray, Lord, for a number who are suffering from ill health of one sort or of another now, and pray that you will bring them back to a better state of health. And we give you thanks, Father, for our brother Ted and the good findings he had recently with his stress test, and that all seems to be better than it once feared. And we pray for Tammy, Sheila's cousin, the difficult time that she's going through and dealing with COVID-19. We pray that you give her body strength and that she will have the right medical treatment to see her through this and bring her back to a better state. We pray for Myra, Ann's sister, and the treatments that she'll receive for her cancer. Father, we know that she has a rough diagnosis, but we pray that your care will be with her. We're thankful for our brother Johnny, who's been fighting infections and the recent improvement that he has seen, and we pray fervently that that will continue and resolve the problems that he's been dealing with. And Father, we're thankful for the successful kidney transplant for Skylar. We pray that transplant will continue to have good results for her, and that she will be able to go about her life normally. And we pray for Judy and her continued recovery, and ask your blessings on her as the donor. We pray for our sister Ruth, that she may have a complete healing from the fracture that she experienced in her wrist, and that all may go well with her in that. Father, we're thankful for the successful surgery that our sister Sherry had on her wrist, and that there will be a good recovery and good results for that. Lord, we ask your best care on Dana Kelly for the episode that she's dealing with now and her struggle with Crohn's disease, that she'll be given relief from that and be able to go home soon. Be with Carolyn, Jacqueline's relative, in her upcoming cancer surgery. And Lord, we ask that your special care on our brother Alan, his health conditions that have worsened in some ways, and also with him in his Christian walk. And be with Jean, Lord, Jan's sister, and the surgery that she has ahead, the recovery period that she will have ahead of her. May all that be successful, and may she be brought back to good health. And be with Wilda's mother, Fayreen, Lord, and the health challenges that she's facing. And for Father, we ask that you be with each and every one of us. We all have our conditions, be they physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, of course. Strengthen each one of us, Father, for whatever may lie ahead. May we always look to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen.
I look at y'all and it seems kind of strange. Everybody's got a mask on. And it makes me think, well, are we, is this some sort of low budget science fiction movie? Or is it like a Ray Bradbury short story where the reality is just a little bit twisted? Or if you've got a long memory, maybe we have entered the Twilight Zone. Things are not the way they used to be. And you may have noticed, it's stressful. And with COVID-19 happening, it's predicted that we're going to have a pandemic of mental illness after the pandemic of a virus infection. So let's think about that a little bit. The infection itself seems like I understand that about a third of people who have a severe infection of COVID-19 will later be diagnosed with a psychiatric or a neurologic diagnosis because of the effects of the virus on their nervous system. So, what if you're not infected, or maybe just a mild infection? Well, think about the stress of isolation. You know, we can't get close to people and talk to them. And when we do see people like this, everybody's got masks on. And it's like, even if, I don't recommend you getting right next to somebody, but even if you do, and everybody's got a mask on, you're still far away. It's hard to relate to somebody with a mask on. That's why robbers wear masks. People don't relate to them. So here we are. We've got losses. Most of us know people who have been sick with COVID-19. We know people who've lost their jobs. We know people who have died. And this is on top of normal human stresses. So we've got extras. And it's hard to cope. Even if you've not been sick, you've not lost your job, a close relative has not been sick or died, we are still affected. So, are you a little more irritable than you used to be? A lot of us are. How about your sleep? Do you sleep as well as you did, say, a year and a half ago? I'd say a lot of us don't. How about, can you concentrate as well as you used to? You know, you try to sit and read a book or something. Does it stick with you like it used to? How about weight gain? And the reason I mention weight gain is from what I have understand, somewhere between 1 out of 2 and 1 out of 3 Americans have gained noticeable amount of weight since March of last year, which is probably stress-related in one way or another. Additionally, apparently a little over 10% of the population has lost weight, which can also be related to stress. And add that to watching television and seeing the lack of civility in our public discourse. Are you feeling stressed yet? Have I stressed you enough? I feel stressed just talking about it. So what do you do about this? Oh, no big deal, it's just stress. No, you can't do that. What do you do to relieve the stress? And I know, you know what I'm going to say. So turn to God. And a lot of the Psalms that we've heard tonight talk about, you know, praising God and turning to God, those kind of things. I want to read you just another portion of a Psalm. This is Psalm 55, and I want to read verse 22. And this is the Psalm of David. And he says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved." And then again in Jeremiah, I want to read about from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17, and we'll begin, I want to read verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, nor does it not cease to bear fruit." Good promises, really good promises. So why are we so stressed? Why are we so stressed if we have these good promises? Maybe we get in the way of ourselves. And we look at these and we see, okay, there was David and Jeremiah. These were men in the Bible, okay? These were God's people. David, a man after God's own heart. Jeremiah, prophet of God. Did these guys have a lock on God's goodness? Are they blessed more than anybody else? And so they can say these things and it's good for them. And we say, yeah, that was good for them. That's long ago and far away. But what about me? What about here? We get in the way of ourselves. Maybe we're a lot like Paul. You remember Paul? In Romans, the 7th chapter, he goes into this big discussion. He says, I've got a problem. I know what I need to do, and I know what I want to do, but I'm not doing it. And he says, there's some things I'm doing I want to quit doing, but I still keep on doing them. What's wrong with that? He says, wretched man that I am. Can you identify? I can identify with that. So what do we do about all this? And how do we deal with it? How do we go from looking at God's promises? How do we take God's promises and we're still stressed? Why are we still stressed? I think it's helpful if we look at a man we encounter over in Mark, the 9th chapter. In Mark, the 9th chapter, there's a man that comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, my son's got a big problem. He's afflicted by a devil or a demon and does all these things." And he says, well, let me just read it to you. And this is in Mark chapter 9. And I'm beginning in the middle of verse 22. And the man, he's bringing his son, talking about his son, and he says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If I can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Maybe that's where a lot of us are. I think a lot of us are that way. We believe. We read God's promises. We read what he says. And we believe, but we're still stressed. We know God exists. We know he's powerful. But there's a disconnect between our belief and how it affects the way we feel and the way we live. But if we look at this at it like this man says, we recognize, yes, we believe, but we also, I think, need to recognize that we still have a long way to go. And perhaps some of that disconnect is what allows us to feel the stress. Now, if I can tell you exactly how to accomplish this, I would. But I don't know, because I'm stressed too. So, we believe in our heads, but sometimes it doesn't make it to our hearts. For things like this, we often need somebody we can talk to, or if you're not a Christian, then the relief is not available. This is kind of thing that is only available to people who have a relationship to God and who have committed to being Christians, to following Jesus the Christ. If you've not become a Christian, now's a good time to do that. If you are Christian and still running into issues, which a lot of us do, if it's not on the screen now, in a moment it will be, there's some email addresses of the ministers that you can email and get a response pretty quickly. You can also contact the elders through elders@gracemind.org, very similar to the email addresses for the ministers at elders@gracemind.org. And if you're here in the building, if you have a need, you can come forward at this point as we're singing the song. If you'd like to stand, we'll stand.
Thank you. please.
If you did not have an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, we're going to offer that opportunity now. So please get ready for that if you do need to participate. In John's Gospel, in chapter 12, in verse 32, Jesus made this statement, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Now, maybe perhaps John wrote the next verse just in case someone might misconstrue what Christ meant by being lifted up. In verse 33, John writes, "But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die, to be lifted up." And of course, what Christ meant by that was be lifted up on the cross. And by being lifted up on the cross, that would draw all men to himself. It's not clear how you could really see that. A death on the cross was considered a great shame in that day. It was certainly a horrible death. But we don't have to go any further than the book of Acts to see what Christ meant by that. Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, Peter, in verses 23 and 24, said this, "This man, Christ, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." He was speaking to a great multitude, and in verse 37, after this speech, we see what kind of reaction the crowd had. 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" They were drawn to Christ upon hearing the message that he was placed on the cross in their place, in our place, that he willingly submitted to dying on our behalf, that we might have our sins dealt with and be reconciled to God. What a great thing that is, and that does indeed draw us down to this day to Christ and his sacrifice. Let's join in prayer as we pray for the bread. Father, as we partake of this bread, we remember Christ and his body being lifted up on the cross, an innocent man, a righteous man, who willingly died for us that we might be forgiven of our sins and have the hope of eternal life through his sacrifice. And Father, we give you thanks for this. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, we know the cup symbolizes the blood of Christ, blood that he innocently but willingly shed on our behalf. We know that there was no way that we could have put away our sins ourselves, but he did it for us. And we're forever grateful for this, Lord, and we give you thanks. And it's in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen. We also want to say a prayer for the offering that will be taken. If you're here and you haven't given today and want to do so, we have baskets at the rear of the auditorium that you can place your contribution in as you depart. If you're at home, you can mail your contribution in. You can drop it by the building. You may have other ways, electronic transfer. By whatever means, you may do so. We encourage you to do that, and we thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the very many ways that you bless us day after day after day. You give us so much more than we need. You fill us up. You meet our physical demands. You give us spiritual blessings. Father, you take such wonderful care of us. We thank you. May the offerings that are made be used wisely and productively and in a manner that will honor you, Lord, and further the work of your kingdom. And may each person that is able to contribute be blessed in making their offerings and doing so willingly and joyfully. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. And now, as we get ready to conclude our service, we want to have a final word of prayer. So let's join in prayer again. Father, thank you for this time together when we can assemble freely and open up our hearts to you, to give you the very best that we can in worship to a God who is so worthy of the praise that we can offer. We ask that you be with us this week, Lord. Guide our steps. Help us to walk in the path that we should walk in. Keep us from the machinations of the evil one. Help us to look always to Christ. To have your word at our side and walk by that, increase our faith. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed. Have a great week. We're glad that you were with us.